поднял откровенно неонацистский режим.
Monster. Strike that. Between the coldest us. After the Great War, new neighbors ask, which war? The great one. The one just starting. Flip. A sign to the movie palace. Can we be any more out of place? Bald-faced, bare-faced, facing the music. Are we so new and innocent? Between the wars, can we endure more elusive covers? After the Great War, Judas makes a comeback in a number of French novels, no longer as the arch-villain wielded by ecclesiastical anti-Semitism, but as a more nuanced figure. Now his treason is a sort of deeper truthfulness towards his friend, and towards his friend's real or imagined destiny. Flip. Suss me out. A surface tension of us, them, suspicion. Turning technicolor, turning off the evening news. Why do you distrust me? Aren't we friends? I try to turn, but turning, turn you. After the Great War, this was the nightmare of all double agents. They were unloved children stuffed into a van and told to hold their noise down or else, while their parents enjoyed a moonlight fling. Which war? The last one, the next one, the great one. Yes, my dears, good night kiss, go back to sleep. No one is.
No one is out there.
Nothing is as it appears.
Just as it appears.
How can you not believe me? If I say it, you can take it as true. Are monsters always monsters undercover? What about Santa Claus? Consider. 1. He comes at night, communist, atheist. 2. Handing out toys, consumerist, materialist, capitalist. 3. Exploiting desire. Should we continue to celebrate this guileless agent of gifts? Children ask, how could you lie to me? Senator Margaret Chase Smith to a HOE committee witness on the security risks posed by homosexuals, Santas in government.
Isn't there a quick test like an X-ray that discloses these things?
Which war are we discussing again? A brass band crosses the intersection holding up traffic. Patriots stand and salute. We line up for our loyalty oath. Like most of my generation, I was obsessed by a complex of terrors and longings connected with the idea war. War, in this purely neurotic sense, meant the test. The test of your courage, of your maturity, of your sexual prowess. Are you really a man? Christopher Isherwood. Approaching the movie palace, can we coordinate intelligence? Saving face, are we so odd? Between the wars, do I turn the other cheek? Between the wars, will you keep an eye out?
The problem is entirely different since the Cold War started. Before, treason was a matter of corruption or grievance or mental instability. Today, Marxist faith has proved capable of subverting men otherwise of upright character and balanced mind. How are they to be detected in time to save the country from them, and them from themselves? Daily Telegraph, 1955.
We've been tailing a crowd of Santas. Half went toward the beach, the other half into a matinee. Wearing dark glasses, they pay their entrance. Some give you the nod as they go in. So you turn to me in surprise, and I turn back to put you in the line of sight.
A curious Freemasonry exists among underground workers and sympathizers. They can identify each other and be identified by their enemies. On casual meeting, by the use of certain phrases, the names of certain friends, by certain enthusiasms and certain silences. It is reminiscent of nothing so much as the famous scene in Proust, where the Baron de Charlus and the tailor Jupien suddenly recognize their common corruption. Arthur Schlesinger, Jr., Vital Center, 1949.
Have we been made? If a person consistently reads and advocates the views expressed in a communist Santa publication, he may be a communist Santa. If a person defends the activities of communist Santa nations while consistently attacking the domestic and foreign policies of the United States, she may be a communist Santa. If a person does all these things over a period of time, he must be a communist, a Santa. But there are other communist Santas who don't show their real faces, who work more silently. How to spot a communist Santa. Armed Forces Information Film Number 5, MCML. One of us is sent out to infiltrate the tomatoes at a campfire, eventually blowing cover while eating a hamburger and asking if anyone could pass the ketchup. In May 1942, Radio Paris vindicated the law ordering Jews, Santas, to wear an identifying yellow star by the fact that they didn't have blue skin.
Le mal vient de ce que les Français, dans leur grande partie, ne savent pas reconnaître les Juifs, les Pères Noël. S'ils le savaient, ils se tiendraient sur leur garde. Donc la question ne se poserait pas si, par exemple, les Juifs, les Pères Noël avaient la peau bleue. Mais ce n'est pas le cas. Il faut donc qu'on puisse les reconnaître.
Charles Laville, Radio Paris, 1942.
This article is for your protection. Read it and be better able to judge the men you think you know. Wally Levine, The Ways to Spot a Homosexual, Santa, 1956. We take a pause to reflect on the so-called intelligence. Q. So why is it okay to lie to children that Santa Claus is real? A. Because eventually they'll figure it out using their burgeoning rational minds. Q. But then, won't they know that the people they trusted most have lied to them for years? A. It's a good lie. It's fun. It's for the kids' benefit. Q. But doesn't a lie stifle imagination and encourage blind credulity? A. While killing the joy of something benign is just cruel.
They're out to infiltrate all male institutions like the Army and Navy, boys' schools, and deliberately ensnare candidates to join the fraternity. Decoys are widespread in these places, whose mission is to get a borderline case into the fraternity by seducing him and forcing him to join once he has been compromised. Today, it's far more than just a perversion. It is a veritable conspiracy.
Jerome Adams, Are Homosexuals Santa's a Hidden Menace, 1958.
He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake.
Paranoia sees itself everywhere. A Janus case of newspeak. Traitors and deviants cannot be identified, but must. They are freaks of an all too common sort. They're everywhere, yet must be quarantined. Evil is genetic, but may be contagious. Gene or germ?
Communism. Santa is a virus that cannot be detected by any security microscope. Screening will only tend to exclude those who have avowed themselves Santas, communists. Not now, the most dangerous strain. Spectator, 1955.
One homosexual Santa can pollute a government office. Hoey Committee. The body politic, like the male body, establishes its integrity by maintaining its impenetrability. Cameron McFarlane. An open society has been unable to defend itself against a secret society which has formed in its midst. That, when it happens to cells of our body, is called a case of cancer, and the results were cancerous in their corrupting painfulness. Rebecca West, 1964.
Nothing else a man should stand by his word. But you've given my words a meaning that I never dreamed of.
Any penetration, however slight, is sufficient to complete the crime specified in this section. District of Columbia Sodomy Laws, June 9th, 1948, 62, Stat 347, CH 428, Title 1, 104, 1973, ED 22-3502. Its political action is a fluid stream which moves constantly, wherever it is permitted to move toward a given goal. Its main concern is to make sure that it has filled every nook and cranny available to it in the basin of world power. George Kennan, The Sources of Soviet Santa Conduct, 1947. Is there such a thing as a homosexual Santa five-year plan? Oh, my friends, there is no friend. Flip, you turn to catch my eye and, in turning, turn me again, getting dizzier. Heads or tails? We flip a two-headed coin. We cannot seem to win. We're stuck in a game of chaos. They assign us a bridge, but an Earth to turn around? A natural satellite. It is the moon Earth's friend? Distracting ourselves, we flip to keep blurry, to stay dizzy. An open society can tolerate many secret societies. It depends on the kind they are. They are dangerous only when controlled by a foreign power dedicated to the destruction of a free society. Sidney Hook, 1964.
We stumble into the theater palace. Gumshoe floors, literally. Blindly sprawl across two seats midway. Positioning our double face to alternate toward the screen. Remove my scarf, shed your coat. Within our head a split nucleus. A cold night for monsters. A hot one for Santas. And not just at the movies.
We try to imagine the horror resolved to grease paint and rubber cement.
But the beards and tufts and facial hair in all the wrong places mark insanity. What is truly not human? The agent.
Santa in the mirror? The matinee has all kinds of monsters. Santas in a variety of covers. By Christmas, there are thousands on the boulevard. We have tailed one away from the theater, away from the crowd. We are told all four spies, Santas, are alike in that their educational backgrounds reflect an unusual lack of contact with the liberal arts disciplines.
There must have been something deep inside you from the very start that let you do this thing.
Professor Blunt's treason and duplicity do pose fundamental questions about the nature of intellectual academic obsession. About the coexistence within a single sensibility of utmost truth and falsehood, and about certain germs of the inhuman planted, as it were, at the very roots of excellence in our society. A man who in the morning teaches his students that a false attribution of a Watteau drawing or an inaccurate transcription of a 14th century epigraph is a sin against the spirit, and in the afternoon or evening transmits to the agents of Soviet intelligence classified, perhaps vital information given to him in sworn trust by his countrymen and intimate colleagues. What are the sources of such scission? How does the spirit mask itself? George Steiner.
What are you doing? It's not what I'm going to do, Brandon. It's what society's going to do.
What prompted beat fellow traveler John Cleland Holmes and gay Santa nightclub owner Jay Landsman to morph into two-headed author Alfred Town and to castigate a homosexual Santa coterie for permeating quality fiction and Hollywood screenwriting and imposing a new taste? Long practiced in unraveling symbolism and illusion, they claimed this fifth column threatens a gradual effeminization of artistic and sexual values.
Probably an ancient explanation of the dual personality in each other's.
Turns out, there are at least 200 more Santas milling around the cinema. We have been made in being unmade. A perfect strike-through of movie monsters and comic book heroes. The ones who have done the leaking are now out in the cold. And we will never have the rights to reproduce their likenesses. By day's end, we've covered the movie palace. We've bugged it high to hell. We hear everything. Walls pox, insulated contra vibration, transmitters dig in the pores of the joint. The windows, the cushions, the carpets, magazines in our hands. These are Trojan horses and armies of extras, infrared film pictures that need no natural, even visible light. There are bugs in the sewer, the drain pipes, the chair rails. and the quick plant bugs we bump on you in passing or lay on your coat. Our coats have buttonholes. We squeeze to shutter you when you smile and run to us so unnervingly. Our watches, our cigarettes, our wallets and lipstick. Everything infra-thin and ready-made. An audience full of Santas. And all that's playing is a short reel of Cardinal Richelieu's Cabinet Noir. Ancient Parry and Thrust. King's Spymaster says, friends always listen in on friends, and hands him a block of code. A long list of faux amis.
So you know that one too, huh?
Of course. Everyone knows about werewolves.
There exists in the Cabinet Noir of a certain German prince, a book compiled by the Secret Service from reports of German agents who have infested this country for the past 20 years. Agents so vile in spreading debauchery of such lasciviousness as only German minds could conceive and German bodies execute for the propagation of evils which all decent men thought had perished in Sodom and Lesbia. The names of 47,000 English men and women, privy councillors, youths of chorus, wives of cabinet ministers, dancing girls, even cabinet ministers themselves, while diplomats, poets, bankers, editors, newspaper proprietors, and members of His Majesty's household follow each other with no order of precedence. Wives of men in supreme positions were entangled. In lesbian ecstasy, the most sacred secrets of state were betrayed. Captain Harold Spencer, the first 47,000, the Imperialist, 1918. When the blonde beast is an earning, Santa, he commands the earnings, Santas in other lands.
They are moles. They burrow. They plot. They are hardest at work when they are most silent. Britain is only safe when her statesmen are family men. Arnold White, 1917.
During the Lavender Scare, the legend of the Black Book revives. This time, the Nazis compile lists of homosexuals, Santas, and these lists are supposedly seized by the Soviets when Berlin surrenders in 1945. And now the communists, Santas, use the lists, again dubbed the Black Book, to identify blackmail targets worldwide. This is not to be confused with the Black Book listing 2,280 prominent British and international people to be immediately taken captive and killed should the Nazis prevail in England. This is not to be confused with the blacklist of communist sympathizers brought before the House Un-American Activities Committee. The trail of monster grows colder the closer we get. So we maintain a distance of description when an image would have traveled twice as far as fast. Another reason for the homosexual communist Santa Alliance is the instability and passion for intrigue's sake, which is inherent in the homosexual Santa personality. A third reason is the social promiscuity within the homosexual Santa minority and the fusion it affects between upper class and proletarian corruption. Countess Rosa Goldschmidt von Waldeck, Homosexual Santa International. Same book, different covers.
Later, in our Chinese restaurant in Paris,
we review our current suspicions,
the many intelligence reports, and all our false friends.
Abus is simply misuse.
Actuel.
Happening, but not real.
Avertissement.
Warns, but doesn't sell.
The affluent leads to a river.
Not a rich life.
Assister à.
Means to be there.
But not help. While attend is to be there.
But not wait.
Assorti matches.
Does not differ. You can put your money in a bank.
Or on a banque. A déception is for one a disappointment, for the other
a lie.
And demander asks with or without force. Eclipse, to slip away or cover.
Aïe.
To hate. Or just hate
hair.
At
is haste or hate like
aïe.
And a pair
is someone equal,
not a double. So pressé is to hurry, not just to push. Rejetant is one's child,
not the rejected.
Sinistre
may just be a mood,
not a menace. Your soul
is your fate and your type.
Flip. When you freak out, je flippe.
Flip my wig or flap a wing. When your slip shows,
I hold my brief in shorts.
When you go straight,
I feel gauche. When you're à l'ouest, I feel adroit.
So let's share a casket till death do us part. Let's split
a
boulette,
and we can spare an arm.
Let's share a blanquette.
Let's split a piece of pain. Lend me your faux amis, and you can use my falsies. Please hold my main until demain.
We walk out tentative and teetering, like perfect question marks. How to become a monster.
Strike out
a Santa. Walk stiffly, talking in accents, wearing disguise and lurking. Misunderstood by the corner under a street lamp. To get your face just right, imagine you smell something sweet but cannot smile. Fluff your hair, slick your hair, jut the chin, suck in the cheeks, peer to the side, squint, stare. Have you reached 1,000 faces yet? When was Peter Lorre, with his accent and double-take job, ever not cast as the sinister foreigner after he fled Germany and made it to Hollywood? After his career with Brecht and Lang, he was cast as Quasimodo, Dr. Einstein, Baron Akito, Dr. Gogol, Montresor, Le Chiffre, Mr. Moto Takes a Vacation, Japanese detective spy, secret agent, son of Frankenstein, occasionally co-starring with Bella and Boris. You know, Rick, I have many a friend in Casablanca, but somehow, just because you despise me, you are the only one I trust. If I had to choose between betraying my country and my friend, I hope I should have the guts to betray my country. E.M. Forster, 1939.
Les bras ballants.
Swinging arms, empty-handed.
Toward the
both host and distinguished guest.
Tu me manques. You miss me, but I miss you. Le temps révolu.
Has not come round again.
Though we maybe fell in the apples.
In this
déception sentimentale.
Newsreel, standard images of suffering, trains, soldiers, zeppelins. Soviets cut off half of Berlin, blocking a road and a train route. Newsreel, a world anxiously watching. Until a wall cements the border and feature films on the western side of town become popular destinations for regular people from the east, who would risk arrest for an evening's entertainment? Chess, such as it is, grows more obsolete, and the planet watches, even as players hurry to switch sides. Propaganda. Inside the theater, the bloodless attack of images and plots, a view of an alternative world. People on one side of the wall appear human, but have superpowers the other side doesn't. This is seductive.
This is new weaponry. Soft weaponry.
A fantasy world.
False news. Une nuit blanche?
Sleep, my dear. Trust the translation. Here, a big cheese is
une grosse légume.
And a change of heart is...
Changez votre fusil d'épaule.
We all translate and double-cross the bridge when we come to it.
Chaque chose en son temps.
Whether we call it a
split personality or a double.
Un chape de plomb. Meanwhile, in New York, Marcel Duchamp reveals his pun on the Brooklyn Bridge. Pont Yves, and accuses America's art of being nothing but plumbing and bridges. In Re-Multiverse. After the Great War, the multiverse starts, and our time arrives like a train back at the station, pulling much more than its original weight, though it is empty and possibly faked. Wonder Woman falls into a time warp and meets her double. Flash's alter ego, Barry Allen, uses super vibrations to climb a midair rope and accidentally vibrates into another Earth, where he meets Jay Garrick, the Golden Age Flash. Eventually, the entire crime syndicate of doubled characters gets imprisoned in a void between multiverses. Then there's the revelation of Earth 2. Two-Face first appears in Detective Comics number 66 with the name Harvey Kent, later Harvey Dent, to rhyme laterally with Clark Kent. Before our own vis-a-vis, We were best friends with the enemy, making us more ruthless now. Two-Face's story is rewritten to match his arch-enemy's tragic past. Because what motherland or fatherland doesn't cause beastly offspring? To make a decision, Two-Face flips a two-headed coin. A coin with two heads always wins, unless one face is scratched out by an X, as he is rumored to do. Earth 1 and Earth 2 show what's possible when a massive nuclear weapon splits a country. Germany, Korea, Vietnam, Ireland. Walls are needed for projection. MAD spies are dropped behind the lines to mine the split. Captured and turned back wearing superhero cloaks.
That's infrastructure.
A lit de fortune.
What anyone not in the room says is controlled before it reaches the intended audience. All propaganda can be seen as censorship and information in equal measure.
Le mal du pays.
Spies need both sides of the conversation, or there's no connecting the bug house lines of paper ants.
Un histoire qui mal y pense.
I have a funny foreign accent. I'm a bad guy. You have a funny foreign accent. You are the bad guy. Are we both thinking what I'm thinking? Are you running me or am I running you? I know exactly why Guy Burgess went to Moscow. It wasn't enough to be a queer Santa and a drunk Santa. He had to revolt still more to break away from it all. That's just what I've done by becoming an American, a Santa citizen. W.H. Auden. In Two-Face Strikes Twice, Two-Face must fight Paul Janis, who is two-timing his wife. Sometimes Two-Face has twins. In another, Two-Face becomes healed. Then Two-Face is taken over by imposters. Some are not really two-faced, but use makeup.
It would be entertaining if we didn't feel ourselves implicated.
We were venturing like spies into an enemy stronghold. They, our adversaries, would employ other tactics down there. They would be sly, polite, reassuring. They would invite us to tea. We should have to be on our guard. The whole establishment seemed to offer an enormous tacit bribe. We fortified ourselves against it as best we could, in the privacy of our rooms, swearing never to betray each other, never to forget the existence of the two sides in their eternal, necessary state of war.
Christopher Isherwood, traveling with Edward Upward to Cambridge to interview for admission. Then there's Earth's prime, where everything seems the same as Earth, until a character interferes with Soviet and American missiles and nuclear war ensues. Meanwhile, in space, double planets have tug-of-war sizes and mass ratios of close to one, so many doubled bodies don't quite qualify. We wonder why we've been so lucky. In each pair, there's a primary and a more deadened yet alternate planet. Pluto and Charon, both icy, dance in the rebound of a cosmic collision. Like Earth, Pluto has a resplendent atmosphere and colorful surface. Charon and our moon do not. Together, for billions of years, we couldn't be more different. Considered almost invisible, Charon and the moon start to reveal their own personalities, their own designs on the plot as they hold the primary planets in place. We reminisce about situations where superheroes bounce back and forth into their cover characters, la tête à l'inverse, between nations that are enemies, just before the feature, an unlucky break.
Your face, then my face,
toward the aisle of the theater as someone runs up.
Hello! Oh, it's been ages.
Screamed like it's been ages. Is that an old friend?
An invasion across newly formed identity?
The friend did us a favor once. We might be compromised.
Pulse, even respiration.
Normal pupils undilated.
Friends blow cover more quickly than any non-official cover operative.
Everything's a border test.
Blank space
in a book.
Masses behind a fence.
Erase us through identification.
Every drunk young man or woman is a trap.
Every offer to buy a drink after the movie.
Every encounter a lie
detector.
Yet we attempt to soften the subject.
Calm the monstrous frenemy.
To get a cover, you must first lose your identity. cover up, up, up. Movie monster Lon Chaney, first proletariat of disguise. His deaf parents afforded him a childhood pantomime, with results refracted in the amplitude and abundance of his expressions. A mission fits the covering. A mission is fiction. They called Lon a boy of a thousand faces, and in the silence of horror films, he projected the terrible deformity that keeps attention from the person undercover. Even under the most hostile interrogation, the fiction remains fact. On radar, spies are trained to see familiar shapes from the top as warships, planes, antenna shadows. Lon Chaney created and built his faces himself, and his secrets have never been revealed. Taping his ears, prosthetic attachments, wigs, putty, grease paint, false teeth, costume. In the Paris Opera, his is the original misunderstood monster. His son will play another, Larry Talbot / the Wolfman, whose cover-up was documented frame by frame from the fingers pinned and plumped to the yak hair on his face. The war between sides comes home, they say. But the bugs in homes needn't worry. There are over 10,000 specimens from basement to roof, over 100 species of arthropod in a single house. Flies and beetles, ants and wasps, stink bugs, book lice, moths, millipedes, silverfish, cockroaches, fungus, gnats, cobwebs, spiders, scuttleflies, dust mites, all harmlessly among us unnoticed, doing our undercover work. Carpet beetles eat spilled food, nail clippings, hair, while dust mites eat dead skin. Book lice eat our books, head lice our hair. The perfect cover. After the Great War, we screen ourselves.
What the hell do you think spies are? How big does a cause have to be before you kill your friends?
The spy who came in from the cold. Torn curtain. The man between. A listening post? Is that how a friend behaves? The aftershock, the lasting feeling that enemies mutually benefit, creates a stable, cold situation of distrust without open fire, only the assurance of total mutual annihilation. Flip, flip. Now there aren't many things we both see the same way, looking out in identical opposite ways. You'd think our species had split in two. A leaf blows across the windshield at a drive-in. And everyone places their trash by a door, their books in the car window, spine out. These are the signals. Nothing isn't right there for normal people to see if they look. But who looks the right way? It takes a prop department to set the city with dead drops. A decade of long-finned cars. The chase element. The movie weaponized with fold-out machine guns and camera eyewear. Nationalism seduces the audience to the sight of movie monsters 200 feet high, with fries and a soda, with your sweetheart everywhere around you, a last resort, a moon one face toward Earth. Under the Outer Space Treaty, our shared moon is open for peaceful business while the dark side hides. Sherlock Holmes, nothing is more deceiving than an obvious fact.
It's been an age.
A second angle. You try to duck, pulling me down. Is the reversed friend enough in this age of information? Someone says, well, the Stone Age didn't end because they ran out of stones. Something new puts it out of business. But can you define a friend without the term? You turn violently and I'm facing the stranger. So glad to see you again. Do balance our alterity at least until the risk of more violence passes. The perfect friendship destroys itself. Or a friend equals a split soul across us, two from one, a translation.
A trace of strangeness easily enters even the most intimate relationships. What is common to two is never common to them alone. No matter how little these possibilities become real and how often we forget them here and there, nevertheless, they thrust themselves between us like shadows, like a mist which escapes every word noted, but which must coagulate into a solid bodily form before it can be called jealousy. George Simmel, The Stranger.
A handler must, before all else, know the inner mind of the handler on the other side, though they may never meet. After all, they both see out of one pair of double eyes. Why can't a double agent become a triple one?
Are there that many ways to lie?
Does your best friend insist on kissing you whenever she sees you? Does she constantly brush up against you, even in the most intimate places, seemingly by accident? Does she love to brush your hair, watch you undress, and buy you presents? Then beware. She may be trying to seduce you. Is your friend a lesbian? Santa? Dare, 1957.
If the coin is grabbed by an enemy mid-toss, what will we do? I've said it 1,000 times. If I've said it once, a private eye is not a spy. There's no debugging a home, and a spy has no friends. And a spy is not a traitor. The spy is an enemy soldier behind our lines, while the traitor betrays familiars to strangers. And a heretic is not a conspirator. It doesn't matter if he looks perfectly normal. Beware of strange men who strike up conversation in bars, trains, and other public places. Beware of doubles who lurk just behind and pretend to understand your orbit, your version of things. Flip. In mutually assured death, treat others as you would they treat you. Just as a spy doesn't exist without an enemy, he can't succeed without diminishing that enemy to a final point. A symmetry versus an asymmetrical bend of social space. A physicist, a Santa versus a thief.
June 21st, 1927, New York Times. Einstein robbed of everything in his home. Applies relativity to trap thieving maid. Yes, relativity applies to honesty. Einstein returned to his home and found it bare of all his things.
Cherchez la femme,
said the Berlin police, quoting a French aphorism, and Einstein tipped them off to his servant, whose boyfriend was found lounging on Einstein's Louis XVI sofa. The servant herself was found in her Rhineland village, dressed in Mrs. Einstein's furs and finery. Einstein maintains it was relativity that exposed dishonesty.
To be a monster, Santa, run in and out of shadows, standing in them, beat, beat. A costume can be anything. But before you become a monster, tell someone. You'll need a handler. Don't go it alone. Don't borrow material without permission or put talc or shoe polish on your face or use glue or rubber cement directly on your skin. Clean up what you spill. Warts require tissue and liquid skin adhesive. Blood needs food dye, paint, and Karo syrup. Gauze makes prosthetic face parts and old false hair gives sick effect. Sounds include ticking clock, bending a metal sheet, tinkling bells, scratching nails against cardboard. Of course, to change from Jekyll to Hyde before their eyes, you use red and green makeup in alternating red and green light. Lighting tricks allow ghosts to appear and disappear as well. With just a balloon and an extra large shirt, you can make a floating head. We've been tailing the scientists, Santas, because they're Earth's latest superheroes. Destroyers. The scientists, Santas, have very long tails. Scientists, Santas, are rational actors. They are non-state actors. They only believe what they can see.
December 23rd, 1954. New York Times, Einstein baffled by Santa problem. He cannot decide at anti-war film whether Christmas spirit is real. Define terms, he insists. Scientist chuckles at Hitler on screen here and wants to know about journalism. After viewing an anti-war film, Dealers in Death, about munition makers, Dr. Albert Einstein, waiting for his car in the lobby, is asked by a persistent journalist, "Is there a Santa Claus? Do you believe in the Christmas spirit? The spirit of Santa Claus?" "Spirit?" Einstein echoed. "First, you must define your terms." Asked again, the professor refused to be rushed. "I will think about it till tomorrow." The statement that Hitler's Reich can have no durance was made the night before by Dr. Einstein at the Brooklyn Jewish Center, where a ceremony was held for the inauguration of an American library to contain books burned and banned in Nazi Germany, pointing out that every community based on hatred is predestined to decay. He continued that, These wounds seared on the soul of the German folk will block any road toward a sound community basis, even after the people will have freed themselves externally. Greetings were also read from André Gide in Paris and Bertram Russell in London. It's possible, with much violence, to hold a peaceful line which can't be crossed back. Propaganda, one's own lies, creates a double image, a regular person Santa game. I can't remember where I put the mark, whether you kick the bucket or lâcher la rampe. Believing your own propaganda raises susceptibility to the ghosts and noises of a haunted bedtime. There may possibly be still another partial explanation for the warped mentalities of the spies, namely, an almost diseased yearning to remold the world after the image of their own work in physical science. The study of subatomic particles, the behavior of neutrons, the nature of fission, an attack upon these problems, however difficult, might seem orderly and rationally satisfying compared with the intangible complexities of moral and political issues.
To an immature mind such as Fuchs,
communism, Santas may have had a special appeal because of a seeming resemblance between the regulated order it would impose upon society and regularities in his own laboratory research. In any event, it is evident that a lack of moral standards, combined with an overweening and childlike arrogance, all induced by exposure to communist Santas' recruiting techniques during early manhood, characterizes the atomic spy. Congress's Joint Committee on Atomic Energy, Soviet Atomic Espionage, April 1951.
Essentially, what you hear is a plot point breaking into faces that break into faces as fast as the Earth spins through plot points past now and future now.
This episode of Leave to Remain was performed by Shannon Tayo and Stephanie Weeks, written by Talia Field and Abigail Lang, designed and produced by Ben Williams, original music by Billy Martin, Carol Emanuel, harp, Dana Lynn, violin, Jane Scarpantoni, cello, Kenny Wallison, vibraphone, additional percussion by Billy Martin, published by Dalkey Archive Press, recorded at the Collapsible Hole in New York City.